appreciate the Lord Jesus this morning for who he is and for what he does. And I just want to personally thank the Lord for his goodness in my life. And God's been so good to me and my family. And,
you know, you could call me, I guess, like some of those football players, those wide receivers who fumble the ball. You can call me Butterfingers, I guess, for fumbling God's ball so many times, and yet he chooses to still use me. And I'm thankful for that. And let me just say right off the bat this morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation for you. Trust him as your Savior, and I promise 100 years from now, you will not regret doing so. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. Those watching by way of Facebook, thank you for your faithfulness in viewing. And this is how it is nowadays, Facebook Live, in person, and of course by the media. And we appreciate that avenue. But thank you for joining us online. And again, we're just thrilled that each and every time we meet together, we're live in three different areas. Facebook Live, our webpage where we have a live audio stream, and then Calvary Radio. And that's just a wonderful thing. I just cannot get over that. And so we appreciate the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord for our people in the sound booth this morning, Brother Randy and others. They're some of the unsung heroes, those that work in the sound room for the audio and the visual. And I just want to say thank you for all that you do. Because it takes everybody working together this morning to bring honor and glory to God. And so just a thankful heart is all I'm saying this morning. So good to be here. And I don't want to throw anything on spiritual in the mix this morning, but I do want to say thank the Lord for the Braves this morning. Thank the Lord for the Braves. And I'm telling you, my wife, my daughter tell you, I'm not a sports guy. Outside of baseball, and I'm not a bandwagon Braves fan either. I'm with them whether they lose or whether they win, and but we're winning, and we got a chance of making history tonight, so we're excited about that. You know, appreciate that. So how to get that out there? I got my flags on my Avalon this morning, so I came into church like this, flapping in the wind. And so praise the Lord for just having a good time. You know, life is hard. There's all kinds of struggles. And I thank God for the distractions that he brings through, the good distractions. And that's how I view this thing with the Braves. It's just a good distraction to get our mind off of things of this world just for a little while, and appreciate everything that the Lord does. This morning we want to mention a few things, and then we will pray here shortly. But we're going to have a special time of prayer this morning. First thing I want to mention before our prayer request is that on November the 7th, the first Sunday in November, the PM service, 5 o'clock, we will have our conference, budget, finance committees. That's what that's all about, on the first Sunday night, November 7th. So remember that. But remember, tonight, 5 o'clock, trunk or treat in our parking lot. It's going to be a wonderful time, and I hope you're coming, and I hope you're going to decorate your trunk, and I hope you're going to do those things. It's going to be a great time. Food, fun, fellowship, all that that rhymes together. We're going to have that here. And if you notice, we put free food on the marquee out there. And this is a community outreach. And there is one thing for sure. If you can't get people to come for anything else, you can get them to come with food. And so, and we want them to come. We want people to come and hopefully attend the church in any given church service. Just to make a note, all that would, it'll be in the bulletin next week before we start a new month next week. But our Calvary Baptist Church annual Thanksgiving dinner, we didn't have it last year because of COVID, but we are having it this year. And it's going to be on a different date of the week, different date. It's going to actually be on Sunday, November 21st at 5. We're going to have it on Sunday night down in our fellowship hall. Many reasons. We want everybody to attend that can attend. And we know the tree lot's getting ready to launch out on that Tuesday, I believe, thereabouts. And so that also give opportunity for us to chip in and help at the tree lot on Tuesday and the other dates that Brian has available to you. So remember that, Sunday, November 21st at 5 p.m., and the church will provide the meat, and everyone will bring a side. So bring a side, and we appreciate that for you doing that. It's going to be a great time at our Thanksgiving celebration. This morning, let's remember a few folks in prayer, and let's remember James and Shirley Townsend. They're at home this morning, not doing well, just not feeling well, not doing well at all. Let's remember them. Let's remember Brother Charlie Wilson in our prayers as he battles his physical ailments. And then, I believe Miss Claudia had relayed, told me that Miss Ruby Harper, her brother passed. Is that right? Okay. Her brother passed. And so let's remember Miss Ruby. Her herself is coming out of a big heart surgery. And so she just needs our prayers. Let's remember her and the passing of her brother. But also this morning, let's remember Brother Alec Clayton. And Brother Allen went for some tests the other day. And the doctor is actually has called him and wants him to come in on Monday to talk. And we need to remember Brother Allen in our prayers. So, Brother Allen, from my heart to yours, Brother, we love you. Amen. We pray for you before. And anybody who ever has something they need prayer for, you know, we come together and we pray. And so that's what we want to do this morning. We want to pray for Brother Allen in his appointment on Monday. But also, all these other things underneath that, any kind of concerns, anything that you need prayer for, I think we just need to hit the pause button, do something a little different, and all come together and have a special time of prayer this morning for Brother Allen and all these other needs on our prayer list. And so let's do this morning. All that would, meet me in the altar, and let's just have a time of prayer together. How about that? Thank you so much for coming down and for remembering our brother this morning. There's other needs. There's needs right now this morning that people have told me not to mention that are big, big needs. So this morning, let's pray for Brother Allen. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' holy name. Father, even Brother Allen said it best this morning. We're a praying church. God, that is what we are. We are a praying church, Lord. We are here to bear one another's burdens. Lord, we're here to pray for one another and just be here for one another, Lord, physically and spiritually. Father, this morning we are fully aware that you're not unaware of anything. And God, Brother Allen went in for a test the other day, and now the doctor wants to see him on Monday, tomorrow. And Lord, we just feel so led to wrap our arms around Brother Allen this morning. As the body of Christ, Father, just to pray for him that his nerves might be settled. God, that his head might be clear and his heart might be calm.
Lord, any of us this morning could have some anxiety about that. But you tell us in your word that if we cast our burden upon the Lord, he will sustain us. And you tell us, Lord, in Peter's book that we're to cast all of our care upon the Lord, for he cares for us. There's not a care that he doesn't want us to cast. The word all covers it all. Any care, any concern, any problem, any struggle anybody in here may have this morning, help us to cast it upon thee. God, we pray that, Lord, that whatever's going on in his body, God, we pray in the sweet name of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus, we pray that you'll touch him, Lord, and that you'll heal him, and God, that you would make him better than he even was before this. Nothing's too big for God. And Lord, this morning it's not a question that we wrestle with that can God, but it's the question that we wrestle with, will God? And God, whatever you choose to do, Lord, we trust you. We just love you. God, we can look back in our life, each and every person, and we understand and realize that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that provides, Lord. So many times, everyone could testify, they've been to the Red Sea a time or two where there was nowhere else to go, no friends to lean upon, but there was only a God to trust in. And Lord, how you parted the waters in so many people's lives and allowed us, Lord, to experience the miraculous. So this morning, that's what we do. We commit Brother Allen to your care. Father, we ask that you'll just show out in this situation. Do what you do best. Taking care of your children. Doing the miraculous. Having purpose in the pain. Father, just help us trust you along the way. Be with him, Miss Terry, the family. Call all of the nurses. Just be with them, Lord. And Lord, we just trust you, Lord, that it's something that can be taken care of briefly. For all these other needs and situations in life that people may be struggling with today. There's people here, Lord, with eye trouble and heart trouble and leg trouble and hip trouble. And there's people here this morning that are suffering emotionally, God, financially even. All kinds of issues. Lord, we're in the house of God. We are in your temple. Show yourself mighty today. Minister to us through your word. Minister to us through the music. Minister to us through prayer. Help us, Lord, be intercessory prayer warriors right now. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. You're a God of love, a God of power, Lord. You know all things. You're everywhere at the same time. But Lord, we praise you for what you're going to do. So Father, be with us now through this service. And we'll give you glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
There's one thing that I have come to know for sure. I'm thankful that you can just whisper the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to get the words out.
Yes.
We go through storms, we go through difficulties, we go through trials. But there is something about the sweet name of Jesus.
Amen.
that calms all of our fears, causes all of our disappointments to disappear. And I want to ask you, church, would you stand with me? Choir, would you stand? And could we sing a couple of choruses at "There's Something About That Name, the Sweet Name of Jesus"? Standing with me this morning. We'll ask Brother Randy if you will come around. We're going to sing a song. I was on the way to church this morning praying and trying to seek the leadership of the Lord. We still got an offering to take up, don't we? Choir, won't you be seated while Randy comes around? Play us something and we'll take up an offering. So we'll get back to that. You just hang on. Father, we do love you and we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Sometimes we might get off schedule, but we are so thankful that you never do. You're the one in charge. You're the one in control. Lord, we surrender it all to you this morning. Lord, there are many prayer requests across this building. Lord, even on Facebook Live, I know that people have prayer requests there as well. But Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would touch each one. May your will and your way be accomplished. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to give. Lord, I pray that you would touch the offering. You know exactly what is needed there. Be in the service this morning. Thank you for the moving of your sweet Holy Spirit. Be with our pastor as he brings your word in a few moments. Be with Randy as he sings, "I'm amazed." Lord, we truly are amazed. Lord, we'll be amazed at what you accomplish here in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. folks, when you think about it, is it well with your soul? Man, what a question. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with yours?
Amen.
Amen. I hope so. If it's not, today would be a great day to make it well with your soul. No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, you see I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on the hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption when you broke sin's power and set my
I'm
burn the sorrow and pain. Jesus is still my comfort and guide. And His love comforts me, and His grace has set me free. And someday I shall stand by His side. For I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Well, I have shoes for my feet, and I have plenty to eat, and a home up in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth, you are mine by my new birth, and we shall share in that home beyond the sky. For I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. Well, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am
praise the Lord for that. Let's remember Miss Cassie. I thank God for those who obey the Lord. Amen. Amen. You just never know with what you're feeling on your heart, whether it's to pick up the phone and call someone just to say, hey, we love you, or send a card in the mail. You never know what God wants to accomplish. Been a blessing being here this morning. And don't want to hold anybody back if you're about to explode. Always want to give a minute or two. Lord's trying to do something. Don't want to get in His way. Well, again, we just appreciate the Lord this morning. 1 Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17. Familiar story. David versus Goliath. It's not of any intention of ours to just rehash this story, but it is a biblical story. And the Lord has not let me get away from this story, David versus Goliath. I feel like someone here needs to know that God is greater than any Goliath you may be facing in your life. Amen. He is greater. While you make your way to 1 Samuel 17, I heard a story one time of a little boy that was being bullied at school. And every time he would walk in the front doors, they'd knock his books out of his hands. And they would try to stuff them in his locker. Well, the little boy came home and said, "Daddy, I'm being bullied at school. Just a terrible, terrible situation." So without the son knowing, one day the dad dropped off the boy at school and parked the car and went in the back. There that boy was, facing those same old bullies, knocking the books out of his hands and trying to stuff them in the locker. But all of a sudden that boy said, "You boys leave me alone, I will tell my daddy." And all of a sudden they broke and ran. The little boy had no idea that his daddy had came in the back and was standing right behind him. I tell you this morning, some of us need to tell the devil that we will tell our daddy. We will tell our daddy. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, this little church down the road here by the Walmart, here on Powder Springs Road, Pine Ridge, I believe it's called, Pine Ridge, Pine Grove. Pine Grove Baptist Church. We know a few of the members over there. But I remember 5 or 6 years ago, they were in a battle with Walmart. I don't know if anybody remembers this. Maybe even longer than 5 or 6 years ago. But Walmart was trying to get their liquor license. And you have to be so far away from a church in order to have them, and they weren't that far away. And so Brother Lamar over there at Pine Grove and Preacher Bobby, they opposed that. And one night, and one day, it was actually on the news. And here's what the news said. "Today we're bringing a story to you that is an old-fashioned David versus Goliath story." True story, the news said that. And I want to tell you, David won that battle. That Walmart on Powder Springs Road is not allowed to sell alcohol. What a blessing that is. Someone said one time that if God allows a Goliath in your life, it must mean he sees a David in your heart. David versus Goliath. We know the story. You've heard it since you've been in little child, since you've been in Sunday school. I'm sure you've heard it over and over again. But we know that it was the army of the Philistines and the army of Israel. One was encamped on one mountain. Another was encamped on another mountain. And then there was a valley right in the middle. The Valley of Elah. We could look at it this way. Mountain here, mountain there. Valley right in the middle. We have the perfect illustration. And we know that this champion, whose name was Goliath, he would come out from his camp and go right in the middle of that valley. And he would taunt the people of God. And he would cause fear to well up within sight of them. And nobody faced this giant until David seen him. And we know that David, the young shepherd boy, was delivering food to the squad. And we know that he's seen this battle. He's seen this challenge. And he also seen that nobody was doing nothing about it. And so David says, "Here I am, Lord. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play." And we know that David, he fought Goliath, and we know that God was on David's side, and David won that battle. This morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, 4 observations from David's fight. 4 observations from David's fight. Now, there's all kinds of things that you can glean from this story, but these are just 4 things that have been fresh on my heart this past week. The first observation I want to call attention to from David's fight with Goliath is that David was in the right fight. He was in the right fight. Look in verse number 29, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" You jump down to verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with a Philistine." We see this morning that David was in the right fight. Now, David had opportunity to get caught up in the wrong fight. If you look in verse number 28, his brother, his eldest brother, Eliab, opposed him. He says in verse 28, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." David had opportunity to get caught up in the wrong battles. He could have took advantage of this family situation where his brother was ridiculing him and degrading him. "Oh, you just have a few sheep. You have a naughtiness of heart. You're just trying to see what's going on. You have no solution." David could have got a fight out of his brother. But he didn't do that, because David knew the kind of fight to be in. And so David was in the right fight. Notice verse 29 again. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" In other words, David is saying, what have I done? Is there not a reason for me being here? Is there not a reason to fight this Goliath? What are you talking about? I'm here for a reason. And then David aligned himself to get ready to fight this Philistine. David was in the right fight. Church, this morning, let us not get sidetracked and distracted with fights that don't matter about in life. Help us this morning. Let us this morning not be wrapped up in social media. Don't let us be distracted with all these worldly things and the kind of battles that are out there that are worth battling, honestly. The battle of social media, the battle of bad music, the battle of movies and all of those things. Don't let us waste our time and energy this morning on things that don't matter, that don't have value for our life. So what if someone says something against you? Turn the cheek. That's what the Bible says. So what's going on in Hollywood and on the TV and, again, music and social media, all of those platforms that seemingly this day and time people are so wrapped up in. People are trying to financially keep up with the Joneses. Oh, they have a new house. They have a new car. They have new clothes, and I don't have those things. Listen, don't get all wound up and wrapped up in those kind of fights, because you'll be missing the mark. The kind of fight that we should be in this morning is the fight for the cause of truth and right. Let us fight for the Lord this morning. Let us stay on the firing line. Let us get some godly convictions and let us live out those convictions. Let us wave our Christian flag and say, "This is where I stand and this is where I died this morning." Don't be caught up in carnality in the flesh and in those kind of fights. Choose the right fight this morning. What kind of fight are you in this morning? What kind of things have transpired in your life where you're just in a fight? Is it the right fight? Or is it a fight that you've allowed to happen? You see, I think sometimes too many people say, well, God has allowed me to be here in this situation. When in all actuality, we don't make the best choices sometimes. And we find ourselves in a fight. But it's not the right fight. And so this morning, what are you fighting? What are you fighting? Are you fighting with a family member? Are you fighting with a friend? Are you fighting with someone on a social media platform? Is there all kinds of angst and anxiety within your mind and heart because of stuff on the TV? Listen to what James says in James chapter number 4, in verse number 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Ye ask not because, or ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your unlust. Listen, I believe this morning much of our fighting is self-induced fighting. Fighting that we've caused. Fightings and struggles that we've allowed. And now we do have a giant in our life. But it's because of things that we've allowed to happen in our life. But on the contrary, there's those who are in the right fight. There are those who have been following the Lord the best that they can. Those who have been coming to church and watching it on Facebook, and they have a relationship with Jesus. They are praying the best they can, studying the scriptures the best they can, and they're trying to do what they can the right way. And there's a fight in the right way. And so what kind of fight are you in? Are you in the right fight? David says that, he says, there's a man here and I am coming to fight him. I'm not going to be bogged down, Eliab, with your taunts against me. Say what you want to say, brother of mine, Eliab, but I'm not going to allow your words to get into my heart to distract me. There is a greater fight. This morning, let this message, God's word, be an encouragement and a challenge unto you to just fight the right fight and make it through the fight. Finish the fight. By the way, it took me a while to learn this. And I've said it before. I said, I'm just going to throw in the towel. But did you know, in a boxing match, the boxer never throws in the towel. He don't have a towel to throw in. The coach does. You'll see a towel just thrown in. Stop the fight. The fight's over. He's done. He's finished. It's never the fighter that throws in the towel. Never. It's the coach. And I have something to say this morning. Jesus has not thrown in your towel. He wants you to keep fighting. Again, I've said it so many times, but fight for your faith. Fight for your families. Fight for your marriages. Fight for your children's. Your children or children's. Whatever. Children. Just keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. The cart is getting faster than the horse this morning. Fight, fight, fight. So we see that David was in the right fight. That's the first observation I want to make. Number two. The second observation, found in verse number 45, and that is David recognized his source. We need to get this morning. We need to get this, that the battles we face are not ours. The battles are the Lord's. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why we must stay connected to Him. Love what Brother Brian preached last Sunday morning. We got to stay connected. Stay connected to Him. And once we're connected with Him, we realize that God has all power.
God knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. We understand that if we're a child of God, that there is a providential hand that is moving our life. There is nothing that comes through our life that isn't first filtered through the hands of God. So if it's death, God was in control. If it's life, God was in control. If it's cancer, God was in control. If it's some calamity, some problem, you lost a job, you can't put pay for your mortgage, but yet you are faithful unto God, God is still in control. So this morning we see that we need to recognize that, and when we recognize that, we're able to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So David said in verse 45, listen, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. We'll stop there. He recognized his source. The battles you're facing this morning, the sleepless nights you're having, sleepless nights you're having. Could it be the sleepless nights I have? The anxiety I carry during the day? Could it be that I'm not fully trusting Him? Could it be that you're not fully trusting Him? Yes. Yes. Whenever there is anxiety and fear and worry, that means I'm not fully trusting Him. You see, when we trust the Lord, it is a growing process. And every time we encounter something, it's opportunity to grow in the Lord and trust Him. And then before we know it, we look back and God has parted the waters. We were scared to death at that time, but He parted the waters. And now we have that experience for the next thing. We come to Marah, they're bitter waters. We're thirsty, we're getting ready to die. But God allowed the bitter waters to turn sweet. Now we got experience over here with bitter things. And so God is moving us through the Red Sea in the bitter waters. He is leading us and guiding us, cloud by day and fire by night. He is teaching us how to follow Him. And sometimes there's some fear involved. Sometimes our carnality in the man that's not saved, the mind is not saved. Sometimes we doubt God. God, will you be there for me? God, will you intervene? God, I know you can, but will you is the question. And I think this morning, that's the kicker. We know that God can, but the struggle is, will God? And this is the point I've had to come to in my life, and I'm still learning. And I'm going to learn until I see Jesus, I'm sure. I know God can. I'm not sure if He will. But whatever He chooses is fine with me. I know God can. I'm not sure if God will. That's not expressing a lack of faith. You can trust, hey, trust me. I'm praying that God will remove mountains. I'm praying that God will heal cancer. I'm praying that God will do all these great things. It's not a matter of can God, but it's a matter of will God. And if there's anything I'm learning in my Christian life, it's don't box God in. Don't just say that God, well, Brother Justin, I've been praying about a situation and you know, it's still bad. God has not answered me yet. Yeah, He has. Brother Justin, you don't understand how work is going, and I'm stressed all the time, and there's this mental anguish I deal with. People hate me at work. God has not answered my prayer, and I've cried out to Him. Yes, He has. Yes, He has. God is always answering our prayers. We just sang it in a song. If we are praying for God to move a mountain, and He doesn't, He'll give you strength to climb it. If we're praying for everything to be fine and dandy, like cotton candy at work, and it's not, guess what? God will give you the strength to endure it. God is always answering prayer. I can remember a specific time at Floyd Road when I first started preaching. And without chasing this rabbit too far, I can remember when it was Young Preacher's Night. There was five of us. I was the last one particular occasion. No, I was the first one, and I bombed it. I mean, I bombed it 5 minutes. I was done, and I never lifted my face from my notes. Next guy got up. I mean, he preached, and everybody loved it. I went home. We were living next door. I went home in the shed, and I cried my eyes out, and I told God, I said, "You made a mistake. You didn't call me to stand up here and look ignorant in front of everybody." I said, "I am not preaching again. I'm saving the embarrassment of my family. I don't want to do that again." Make a long story short, I'd get down and I'd pray, and I said, "Lord, if you don't want me to preach anymore, just don't give me any opportunities. Lord, if you don't want me to preach anymore, then take the desire away." You know what? That desire never left, and there was always opportunities. Listen, just a personal illustration. And what I'm saying this morning is simply this. We cannot lock God in when things aren't going our way. Give him moving room. God may be doing something amazing in that dark time. I remember Johnny Hunt one time, he preached on trials. And I'll never forget it. He said this. He said, "When you get a glimpse of what God might be doing in your struggle, you might tell God to turn the fire up 3 times hotter." Friend, that takes some special insight with your relationship with the Lord. David, he recognized his source of strength. Verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.'" David recognized his source, but I want you to notice something else. Look down in verse number 49. What did David use? "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth." All David had was a sling. All David had was a little bit of experience. In fact, Saul tried to fit his armor on David. David said, "I can't wear this armor. I haven't proved it yet. It's real to you. It's not real to me. I have my way of doing things." What I think about that is, everybody has their own experiences in their Christian walk. And God equips us to accomplish the same thing, but in different ways. And so David said, "I have a sling. God has used that in my life, so I'll use my sling." That's what he's saying. And so David had a sling. He had a slingshot. It wasn't much, but because David was in the right fight, and because David was connected to God, God used what David had. You might say, "Brother Justin, I don't have much to offer God. I'm not talented. I'm not gifted." Let me tell you, God will use what you have. He will use those experiences in life. The times when the lions come in and the tigers and all of those problems come in and you manage to wrestle your way out of that with the help of the Lord, God will use that. You remember the little lad with the lunch? 2 fish and 5 loaves. So this is what happened here. Number one, we know that Philip had no faith. Because the Lord asked him, he was testing him, he said, "How are we going to do this?" Philip reached in his pocket. "We only got 200 pennies worth, Lord, I don't know." No faith. Andrew had some faith. He said, "Here's a little lad.
two fish and five loaves. But how are we going to feed them? I don't know. No faith, little faith, and then the faith of the lad. He gave his two fish and five. He gave his lunch bag to Jesus. Believe what you want to, but I see a pure faith, a crazy faith. With no strings attached. Here, Lord, here's my lunch. Feed the 5,000. And here's what happened. There was a transfer. And then there was a transform. That little boy gave all that he had. He transferred it. And then God transformed it. Listen, God made that truth real to me early in ministry. And I have to lean on that every time. That God, in life in general, God will have, he will allow some giants. He will allow some situations to transpire. And he wants us to transfer our burden to him. And then he will transform our mind and heart. And you'll find yourself being able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you say, where's the fear at? Where's the worry? Things have not changed. I'm still going through my trial, but there's been a transfer and a transform. This morning, I think we need to, whatever it is, it may be a burden we need to have transferred and transformed, give it to the Lord. It may be something you need in order to properly do your job, or a touch in ministry, or a touch in your home. Give God what little bit of talent. Give God what little bit of energy. What little bit you have, and watch God work mightily. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I would come to church, but what's one service going to do for me? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. What about Ehud, one of the judges in the book of Judges? Ehud was a judge, and he killed Eglon, the king. Here's how it happened. First of all, Ehud was a left-handed man. He was a southpaw. Most commentators say, and it was of the day, if you were to go see the king or anybody in position, you'd get the pat down. So, everybody knows the right hand is the strong hand. Everybody knows the right hand is the hand that you handle business with. It's the strong hand. But Ehud was left-handed. Just follow me. This is just what I think happened. How he got in and accomplished his mission. If I'm right-handed, I'll have my dagger on the left side. If I'm left-handed, I'll have my dagger on the right side. And so they were supposing, this is just how, they were supposing, I believe, he was just a right-handed man, and so they patted the wrong side, and Ehud got in. But the moral of the story is this: whatever you have, wherever you're at in life, doesn't matter if you're left-handed, don't matter if you have a small lunch, doesn't matter if you ain't got no money, doesn't matter how big your burden is, it's all about transfer and transform. God can use somebody like Ehud, God can use somebody like David, God can use a lad, God can use you, and he can use me this morning. And so David recognizes his source, and listen, this is something that we just need to reiterate time and time again, that we don't have anything. We don't have life by the horns. We need God this morning. Number three, we see another observation. Not only David recognizes his source of strength, but David's victory caused rejoicing. Look in verse number 52. We know that David ran and cut off the head of Goliath. Some say that the stone didn't kill him. It was actually the sword did, the sword that killed him. I tend to believe that. Doesn't matter. He was dead. Okay, David cut his head off. He was for sure dead then. But verse number 52 says this, "And the men of Israel
and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. David's victory caused rejoicing. In plainer terms, what David did affected others. Because of David's bravery and his boldness and his connecting to God and how God used him, number one, it allowed the people of Israel and Judah to arise. And we're not trying to overemphasize or spiritualize Scripture here, but if they arose, that means that they were sitting. They were discouraged. And then they shouted. And then they pursued. Because of what David did, it affected others in the most positive way. Every time we're going through a battle, a struggle, a situation, it's opportunity to be that refreshing Christian. It's opportunity for others to look into our life and see our God so that they might be helped. In fact, Philemon, verse number 7 says that. Paul writing and says that, Philemon, you are a refreshing Christian. You refresh the bowels of the saints. And that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be the one who although it's scary and dark and I struggle at times, I'll bring that to Jesus. And when I'm in front of you, I want you to be encouraged. I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be the kind of Christian that affects others in a positive way. It causes them to walk closer with Jesus. I don't want to be a complaining Christian. I don't want to be a defeated Christian. I don't want to be one who leads others astray. And what we have is, when someone is affected, whether good or bad, in a bad, good or bad way, we have what you call the ripple effect. The ripple effect is when, and Christy, her grandparents had a cabin in Blue Ridge. They don't have it anymore, but it was a small pond. Behind that cabin, it was the first bass I ever caught was in that pond. I'm not kidding you, that thing was 10 pounds. I didn't weigh it, but I have a picture in my office. That thing, I mean, it was, we named it Lulu. We had to let it go. I'm not really sure why we let it go, but we did. Anyway, first bass, it was huge. But that pond was so small that if you were to throw a stone in it, the ripples would reach the other side. You throw a stone, the ripples would reach all the way over to the other side of the pond. That's how it is for us in life. Whether something good or bad that we do, either way, it causes a ripple effect. A lot of people say, Brother Justin, it's just me. I'm doing it for me and no one else. That's not true. You have, I have, everyone has a stone in our life, and when we throw it, we got to make sure we throw it with good intentions, because there's a ripple effect. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be done. That's the third observation. And then number four, the final observation from this fight with Goliath, in verse number 54, and that is David's battle remembrances. Verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. David had some battle remembrances. Why did David put Goliath's armor in his tent? Actually, later on we read in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 9 that David went to Ahimelech, the priest. David was really hungry. Like I like to say, hungry. Okay? He was hungry. And he went to the temple, and he was so hungry that he ate the table of showbread that was freshly baked. He ate it. But then David said, not only am I hungry,
but I need a weapon. And what was handed to David was the sword of Goliath. David, he had Goliath's armor in his tent. The sword was, it was in the house of God. Why was that? Why were these pieces of armor gathered together and exhibited? So that one day David could look up in the house of God and say, in being discouraged and being defeated, he sees that sword. He says, oh yeah, I remember that battle. I remember that battle well. I was a little boy. I mean, I'd fought lions and bears, but I remember Goliath. I remember how big he was. But I also remember how the Lord enabled me in that moment to have victory over the enemy. And there's his sword. And there's his armor. What it is, it's Goliath's armor, I believe, were trophies of grace. Joshua had his stones that they removed out of the Jordan River. 12 stones, stone per tribe. And they were there so that when the children asked, what mean ye these stones? Then you could say there was a time when God was so real. When the banks of the Jordan River was overflowing and life was overflowing. But God allowed us to pass through and get to the other side. You may be experiencing something this morning that's bigger than you are. Do you have any trophies of God's grace? I think this morning we need to dust some of them trophies off and get a clear picture of what God has done and what God can do again. They want to come. David's battle remembrances. He had all of these things in place. Goliath's armor, his sword. David's battle remembrances. David's victory caused rejoicing. David recognized his source, and David was in the right fight. This morning, just four observations from David's fight. And I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that needs to come when we give the invitation to say, Lord, I'm facing some battles in my life. Will you give me the strength to fight? Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we just praise you this morning for everything. I pray this morning if there's someone here that needs to trust you as Savior, that they would come. Someone here this morning that needs to just come back to the cross, that they would come. Maybe just a Christian here that needs to be energized, that you would energize them. Whatever the case is, whatever the need, Lord, we pray that you'd work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And if you need to come, you come on down and pray to the Lord. Anybody else this morning? Now's the time to come. Maybe there's others. Facebook, this is your time as well. Continuing to sing, if you need to come, you come. You'll be glad you did this morning.
still singing. This is invitation time, the most important part. Still some praying. Let me just ask, do you know that you know that you know that if you die today, heaven will be your home? If you do not know that, I urge you, I implore you, I beg you to make certain your destiny. The question is, where will you be 100 years from now? I want to say and reiterate time and time again that only by the blood of Jesus and accepting His plan of salvation can you go to heaven. If you have not made plans of that, let today be the day. It's really as simple as ABC. A, you admit that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. B, believe. Believe in thine heart that Christ has died for you. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. And then C, confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let today be the day of salvation for someone. As we play just a few more moments, and then we'll close. Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know you're saved? Thank you, and hope everyone enjoyed the service this morning, and just continue to let us continue to pray for one another from day to day, and we'll keep you updated on anything that may transpire with anyone, so make sure you pick up a bulletin this morning or log on to the website, calvaryministries.org, to find it there. All right, all hearts clear before we go. Any instruction for tonight, Miss Christie? All right, 5:30. 5 o'clock. Okay. Oh yeah, I didn't even catch it. I didn't even catch it neither, and I said it. thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. Man, that is awesome. So awesome. That really did it. Y'all in trouble. Thank you so much. That meant a lot. That meant a lot. Thank you so much. Father, thank you. We love you today. We praise you, Lord, for not only the good times, but we praise you for the hard times. It seems like it's easier to praise you for the hard times when we're out of the hard time. But Lord, if we can't learn anything else, let us learn how to praise you in the storm. Because, God, things are not always going to be perfect.